back to this week on Channel 9. I'm Brian Keller.
I'm Dan Fernandez.
And I feel a little under the weather today, huh?
Yes, I've taken my fair share of DayQuil.
Nice. All right, this should be an interesting episode. So we're talking about...
Visual Studio 2010.
The Olympics.
The Olympics.
Maybe a little bit of Valentine's Day.
Maybe a little Valentine's Day love at the end.
But first, our top story.
Yeah. Visual Studio 2010 Ultimate RC ISO is now available. Now, this was first available for MCN subscribers, available to anyone right now.
Available to everybody. So you can get Ultimate, you can get TFS, basically every SKU that we ship is available.
You had to say TFS. You love yourself some
TFS. Yeah, I get 50 cents every time someone downloads.
2010 SDK as well, so if you're looking to build some of those cool editor extensions, you can do that as well. We talked about that in our last episode. So download, start playing... and a couple of things on that note. If you want to see kind of what's going on with Visual Studio 2010, Charles did an in-depth interview with Jason Zander, kind of what's going on, what are the changes, why they even did an RC.
Right.
If you remember, RC was not on the plans.
Right, that's true. And it's one of those you asked, we delivered kind of things where, you know, we got a lot of feedback based on Beta 2. A lot of people said, hey, you know, we like the new features, but namely performance is a big problem. We switched over to WPF for a lot of the shell elements. Mm-hmm. And Charles did an awesome interview with Rico Mariani a few months ago where Rico talked about some of the challenges they had and the ways that they were addressing that. And this is the first time that I can remember that we've actually pushed out a public release candidate of Visual Studio. So it's pretty exciting, but this is really your chance to give us that last bit of feedback to make sure that we took your feedback and that we got it right in the final release. And so so there are still some known issues, some things that we're working hard on. I've been talking to a few of my customers this morning and getting some great feedback, but that's why we do these things, is to take that final bit of feedback, make sure it makes it into the product that we're going to ship on April 12th.
Yeah. Cool. So, and speaking of that, Jason had a blog post on some of the common questions you're going to have. So, if you are a Silverlight developer, one thing you should know is that VS 2010 only supports Silverlight 3.
Right.
So, if you need to do Silverlight 4, say on Visual Studio 2010 Beta 2.
Right. That's correct.
Another thing is the expiration date, which I'm going to look cheat here, is June 30th. So you can use these bits until June 30th. Another common question is, are there going to be Express Editions? The answer is no. So there aren't going to be an RC version of the Express Editions.
You scare me for a second. There's not going to be RC Express Editions, but there will be RTM Express Editions.
Absolutely.
Okay, got it. And then the other thing people may be wondering is if you need to get Beta 2 again, it's probably a little bit hard to find now on the MSDN dev centers. If you go to my blog post, blogs.msdn.com/Brian Keller, I actually have... Yeah, shameless post, but 50 cents every time you download. I have a list of all the Beta 2 downloads on there, and then you can actually just copy and paste that into your favorite download manager. It'll grab all the files you need.
Cool.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier about the performance stuff in Rico. One of the things that they did was created what's called a perf SWAT team. Mm. And that the goal of that team was to identify all the areas where there are things like memory leaks, where... And Kirill Osenkoff, who's one of the persons that joined the perf SWAT team, talks about what it was like to be on the team and what are the things that they were doing, what are the scenarios they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was a stress test where you assume that Visual Studio is going to be open 8 hours a day for 5 days. It's like you have it open and, you know, you're working all day those days.
So a short work week. Yep.
Yes, exactly. So they went through what it was like to keep that open and make sure that the amount of memory, once everything is jitted, warmed up, et cetera, doesn't grow. Like, there aren't memory leaks. And talks about the first level experience where they were going through, and you know, you'd hit, like, a gig after several hours, and you hit out-of-memory exceptions eventually.
Right.
So he talks about the whole process. So really interesting blog in terms of, if you want to know kind of the inside story on what they were doing in terms of performance. And he talks about Jason just, you know, emphasizing how important performance was for the shipping product.
Oh, absolutely. I attended a few of Jason's all-hands meetings, and every time that was, like, top of mind, we have to make sure that we are as good or better than Visual Studio 2008. So it's definitely an important factor, and, you know, it's one thing to deliver a lot of new functionality, but if it's slow...
Or
you know,
buggy, yeah.
Exactly. Then what good does it do? So I think the team's done an awesome job.
One thing to keep in mind is ASP.NET MVC2... release candidate 2
right.
now available. Now you were saying they release once a week now?
It does seem like every 2 weeks we talk about a new version of ASP.NET MVC that comes out into either preview mode or RTM mode, but no, this is ASP.NET MVC 2, first parens, and then RC 2, second parens. So.
Yes, so couple things in here. It includes the strongly typed helpers where you can do actually have link expressions in them. So I can say, you know, where amd orders a title, for example, when I'm building HTML helpers. A lot of things that people are probably familiar with in MVC 2. And I think that there were some breaking changes in terms of the API stuff, so you can go through and see some of the difference in terms of API changes that they made based on customer feedback. And the other big thing... Maybe I don't have it in this, is Phil Hack had a post, and I thought I had it in here, was that if you have ASP.NET MVC 2 and you want to use it with a Visual Studio 2010 RC, you actually have to install MVC first, then install Visual Studio. Now, if you have installed Visual Studio first, then he goes through a screenshot of you have to go into the install programs and uninstall certain items. So this will be in the show notes. I thought I had a screenshot of it, but you got to make sure to uninstall that piece.
The joy of beating on the bleeding edge.
Yes, yes, but at the end of the day, you'll be able to use MVC 2, RC 2, with VS 2010,
RC 1.
Ultimate Edition.
RC2D2. Got it. So Scott Hanselman wrote a post that said... that he actually went through the experience of setting up IIS 7 with Smooth Streaming. And like Scott always does, he took very detailed notes and provided screenshots and links and blah, blah, blah on how to get this working. So really cool if you want to set that up. And he actually does it straight off of his Windows 7 box. So you'd actually don't need a server in order to set this up as long as you have IIS. So
which is a really good point for devs that don't necessarily want to pave, say, a laptop with a server OS.
Yep, exactly. So Wiimote as a sensor driver on Windows 7. So we were talking about this before the show. First of all, once again, props to Brian Peek. I think you can't talk about Wiimote without mentioning Brian Peek, who wrote the original driver for getting your Wiimote control to actually interface with Windows. And so, I'm sorry, who did this one? This is...
It's from Code Project. I forget the name of the guy.
Yeah, so so a great Code Project article where they basically start with Brian's driver and then convert that into a Windows 7 sensor.
I don't think it's that they convert it.
They modeled it after it.
Well, I think they write the driver part and then communicate to the Wiimote library.
I see. Gotcha.
So it's like the go-between. So if you want, one, it shows you how to build a Windows 7 sensor driver.
Lots of pages of detail in this article.
So, yeah, exactly. So so that way you can see the Wiimote as a native...
sensor in the sensors list, yep.
Yes, exactly right.
Yep.
So, and you can write applications to the sensor, retrieve the sensor information, etc.
Right.
So the accelerometer data, everything.
Right. So, if all you need to do is communicate with the Wiimote as a control and use that in your application, you can continue to use Brian Peek's library. But if you want to go down the path of learning how to work with Windows 7 sensors, that's what this article's for.
Yep.
So, nice.
And more importantly, for people that have never built those driver sensors before, this is the step-by-step how-to. And it uses a sensor that everybody's familiar with, a Wiimote, and that already has an open source library.
Yep, exactly.
Now, cool. This is crazy.
Yeah, this I need you to explain this to me again, because I still don't get it.
So Jeremiah Morrill, who's one of the guys, if you were at PDC, we did his Coding for Fun project, which was the
graffiti thing.
Laser graffiti.
Yeah.
Which, you know, allows you to do tagging by using a laser pointer.
Mm-hmm.
But what this does is Silverlight allows you to call in COM.
Right? Yep.
So you can call COM, but you have to you can call other COM objects as well, but you have to call RegSVR to register the COM object, and I think it needs to have a specific interface. I believe it's iDispatch.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't have that COM object there and you want to be able to download it, you can actually have that DLL in your ZAP file. What this will do is call to COM and call shell execute, and it calls some commands to find out the out of browser Silverlight process.
Okay.
Now that we have the out of browser Silverlight
process ID,
it injects itself into here to call to register that prog ID for that DLL that you want to download so that you can now call that DLL or other DLLs directly from there, not hit the... And I think there's still the privilege escalation issue, but that would only hit if you were doing things that needed privileges. But this takes the pain out of registering. So one thing I do want to say, because this sounds ridiculously hacky is the information and code here can be easily abused. Please do not use it as a crutch in application planning, Brian, but more for utter despair or experimentation. Thus, I wrote this blog from that perspective.
Gotcha.
This is kind of crazy that he was able to do that and be able to see that stuff. This is one of the challenges if you have the ability to, you know, basically execute stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what this does in terms of the Silverlight team responding and everything else. But it's kind of interesting that he's able to figure this out.
Right. Cool. So Azure Table Query Project, and so this is a tool that allows me to look at my Azure tables.
Yes, this is a follow-up from a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the using Link to query these tables. This is now a tool that effectively does the same thing. It gives you like a table explorer where I can have the tools, and then I can write really simple queries and then actually see the results.
So this is Azure Tables, not to be confused with SQL Azure.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
Correct, sir.
You are correct, sir.
It is a code Plex project, Jason Haley's, and you can, you know, go to town or at least see how it actually works under the covers as well.
Cool. So from our friends Roger Doherty and Zach Owens, here's the SQL Server 2008 R2 training kit, developer training kit.
Yes.
Right. Okay. That's, yeah. SQL Server 2008 R2 update for developers training kit.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha. So this is just like any of the hands-on labs and or any of the training kits the DPE ships. This is hands-on labs. This is videos. This is slide decks. This is everything you need to help yourself come up to speed on SQL Server 2008 from a developer's perspective. Okay. That's all I wanted to say.
All right. All right. It took you a long time. this is a cool project. Clint brought this up on the Coding for Fun blog. But what it is what you can do with this application is Silverlight doesn't have a way to decode MP3. Like if I have, you know, a music song of, you know, Brian doing karaoke, I don't have a way to decode that. I can play it. Yes. But now you can actually, what this does is decodes the MP3, and then you can get all the sort of information from it and actually do like sound effects to it. You can...
Wait a minute.
Do the equalizer, et cetera.
What do you mean you can play it, but you can't decode it? I thought that playing involved decoding.
It's not exposed to you as a developer.
So it just pipes it straight out your speakers, and you never get
exactly.
To
okay. I get like, you know, I'm setting the property in a media element. Mm-hmm. I'm not getting, say, a collection of...
all the tags and everything, and the...
Yeah, or a collection
values.
Of bytes, right,
okay.
that represent the song or the ID3 tag or anything
sense.
Like that.
Yeah.
Where you may want, like, you know, you could point this in a Silverlight at a browser app and, you know, clean up your ID3 tags, make it an ID3 tag cleaner, for example.
Yep.
And there are some libraries that do stuff like that.
Nice.
So,
cool.
Yeah.
So Bing Maps for the Winter Olympic Games. So those start tonight. Right, the opening ceremonies.
Yes, unless we ship Saturday, which we this.
Then they started
probably.
Last night, and they were amazing.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you believe that?
Oh my God, I can't believe when that one thing happened.
Yeah.
Go back and watch it.
Yeah.
But yeah. So this is a way within Bing Maps, which I a lot of people love Bing Maps. I love Bing Maps personally. I think that they're doing a bang up job there. But now what you can do is you can overlay all the different countries that you're interested in, and you can see exactly how the medal counts.
And all the different events, you can see kind of what events going on, people tweeting directly at the Olympics, and the medal count, right, which is like, my country's better than your country.
Right, my money's on Uzbekistan.
Who are you rooting for hockey?
Hockey? Caps. Go Caps.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah. No, I don't know.
Look who takes the ice, the Washington Capitals.
Go Gators. My Gators are going to be there in the end.
I think the Russians are going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, are they the favorites?
Because Ovechkin, Datsyuk, they're ridiculous.
No idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Yep. I understood more of the comment or op discussion.
Women's USA Hockey, I have them winning the gold in my bracket.
Bracket? I didn't get in on this pool.
Listen, you still owe me money from Microsoft being established in 76, but that's a different story.
Oh, that is a different story.
Now, another thing is, you remember the Olympics. No, you don't.
The Summer Olympics?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, same experience with Silverlight for the Winter Olympics, mm-hmm. But improved.
Okay.
So more hours, I think it's over 1,000 hours, 400 hours of live, over 1,000 hours of taped.
Okay.
So you can go back and see all your different events. They have a new player, so it's like DVR style, a bunch of other cool stuff.
And DVR for the live stream, which I don't think we had last time. I think you only had the DVR
right.
functionality for the on-demand stuff. And what's really cool, what I like this about this, is you can actually go to their website now and watch events that have yet to happen. So it's really cool. Yeah, it's amazing, the power of Silverlight.
Yeah, yeah, that flying tomato, man.
Yeah, all right.
That was cool stuff, and kudos to the Silverlight team for putting that together.
That's so right, yep.
It's a lot of our homies.
Yep. So picks of the week.
Picks of the week. Yeah. So, yeah. Chances are you might have seen this video already on Channel 9, but this is our Channel 9 Valentine's Day episode, and really, Nick is kind of disturbing in this.
You're kind of disturbing. Everyone's kind of disturbing. This is not what I had in mind when I thought Valentine's Day video you guys were making.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is just a goof by Laura to go, let's see if Dan will do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to need you to get beaten up and
nice.
Go to jail.
Nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. So where do they find this? On Channel 9?
On Channel 9, exactly right.
All right. And so my pick of the week is basically a list of a bunch of roll-up posts that talk about some of the things we talked about already, such as the fact that you to work with Silverlight 4, you need to stay on the Beta 2.
Beta 2, sure.
But also other guidance as well. So I'm on TFS 2010, that's another 50 cents every download. I'm on TFS 2010 Beta 2. How do I get ready for the RC? What's the Go Live support story around all this stuff?
What is the Go Live story?
Same story as Beta 2. So in Beta 2, we did provide limited support for the Beta 2 Go Live deployments. And what that means is there's a process you can go through. It's out on Jeff Beeler's blog, and we'll provide links, where you request what's called an access ID. And that access ID allows you to call up Microsoft support and get no charge incidents in order to, we're not allowed to say free, but so no charge incidents in order to provide support for your Beta 2 based deployment. We've basically extended that for RC as well. So if you already have an access ID for Beta 2 go live, then that will work with the RC. If you need to get a new access ID, go ahead and request that soon. It does take a few days to process. But we will support your deployment, and we provide 9-to-5 support on Pacific Standard Time. So if you're on the other side of the world, that may mean you have to call in the middle of the night, but we're doing our best to kind of ramp up and help you out with your deployments.
Okay. Awesome. And, thank you.